Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki. All the incarnations are entitled to the emotions of devotees. There is no higher bliss than this. If you repeat after me, all the incarnations are entitled to the emotions of devotees. There is no higher bliss than this. Purport, short purport, Mahāśrīla Prabhupāda. All the different incarnations of Lord Vishnu have the right to play the role of servitors of Lord Krishna by descending as devotees. When an incarnation gives up the understanding of his godhood and plays the part of a servitor, he enjoys a greater taste of transcendental mellows than when he plays the part of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Agyanati Mirantasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalan Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishvanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vashadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So with the permission of all the devotees, try to say some words. This verse of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So this chapter is all about Sri Advaita Acharya. And as we know, Sri Advaita Acharya, although he is senior to Lord Chaitanya, Advaita Acharya is the disciple of Madhavendra Puri. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's spiritual master is Ishvara Puri, who's also a disciple of Madhavendra Puri. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is seeing Advaita Acharya just as though it's his spiritual master. But Advaita Acharya, of course, knows that Lord Chaitanya is God, because he's the one that called him. And therefore, although Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is treating Advaita Acharya with great respect, Advaita Acharya is actually wanting to be the servitor of Lord Chaitanya. And in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, he tries to achieve this position in many ingenious ways. So therefore, in this chapter, what is being emphasized is the greatness of being a servant or a devotee. And therefore all these verses are talking about the greatness of those who are serving Lord Krishna. So it's an interesting situation we have in the world. Most people are trying to become God, but God is trying to become a devotee. God is trying to become a normal person. So it's an interesting state of affairs. Once I was on the street somewhere, distributing books, and this person walked down the road and he had a t-shirt. And the t-shirt said, "I used to be an atheist, dot, dot, dot." So I thought, interesting t-shirt. Let's wait till and see what it says on the back. So then he walked past me, obviously the front, "I used to be an atheist, dot, dot, dot," turned around the back. "But then I saw the light and I realized I am God." Right? So people in different ways are trying to become God. But God actually wants to become a devotee, a normal person, which is very interesting. Once I met another person and he said to me, "You know, I just don't understand why God creates all of us. And then what he does is he creates a situation such that if we don't serve him, then we all just suffer. God is just this person who creates all of us, wants to be the center of attention, creates all of us to serve him, and if we don't do it, then he just puts us in suffering. What kind of person is that?" And then he even showed me a verse from the Gita. And he showed me the verse, obviously, in the 9th chapter where Krishna says, "Manmana bhava madbhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru mame vaisasi satyam te pratijane priyosi me." And he said, just see how much God wants to be the center of attention. Just see how much of an attention seeker God is. He says, look, Krishna says, engage your mind in always thinking of me. Become my devotee. Offer obeisances to me. Worship me. And then maybe one day you'll come back to me. And he said, you know, what kind of God is this? Just wants to be the, you know, like an egomaniac or something. You know, just wants everyone to just focus on them. Right? So then I was explaining to him, firstly, two points I tried to explain to this person. The first reason that God creates all of us is because there is more enjoyment in variety. Now I gave him the example of a whistle. Imagine you have a whistle, you know, like referees use a whistle, and there's one hole in the whistle. So if you blow it, I mean, there's limited amount of music you can do with a whistle which has one hole, right? But if you have a flute which has so many holes, and then you blow air through that flute, and you can play it in wonderful ways and make wonderful music and melodies that are so pleasing to the ear. So I explained, the more holes there are, the more variety and melody and enjoyment you can derive. So similarly, God creates all the variety in the world so that there can be more enjoyment in the world. Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda ki, Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai. So God creates all the living entities so that there's variety, and from variety comes enjoyment. And I said, furthermore, it's not that God wants to be the center of attention. Actually, God doesn't want to be the center of attention. Actually, God wants to give up being God. This is the most confidential aspect of God. This is what we're reading in Chaitanya Charitamrita. That Krishna is recognizing that the devotees derive more happiness than God. The devotees derive more bliss, more ecstasy in their position as servitors than God does in his position as the Supreme. Therefore, God comes down as Lord Chaitanya to experience what that bliss and happiness of service is. So I said to this person, this is the proof. This is the proof that God is not an attention seeker, that God is not an egomaniac who's just concerned with his own worship. The proof is that God doesn't want to be God. God wants to come down and be a devotee. And therefore, this understanding, this Gaudiya Vaishnava understanding that God comes as his own devotee, is actually an incredibly advanced theological understanding. I have never come across any religion, any school of thought, any theological path which talks of such a thing, that God gives up his position as God and becomes a devotee. In fact, it's such a mind-blowing concept. Imagine if you had a billionaire who had a huge mansion and had so many servants. And the billionaire treated those servants with so much love and so much care and attention that the servants were actually enjoying more than the billionaire. And then it just came to the stage one day where the billionaire thought that these servants are experiencing so much more than me, that he gets one of the servants and he says, okay, now I'm going to give you all my mansions, all my money, all my resources, and I'm going to take your position as a servant and you're going to get all of this. Can you imagine such a situation ever occurring? Probably would never occur. I've never heard of such a thing. But God does that. God gives up his position, his incredible supreme dominion over everything, and worships the devotees and becomes a servitor of his own devotees. So this conception of God is a very revolutionary concept. In fact, the whole Gaudiya Vaishnav understanding and conception of God is completely revolutionary. The nature of God, which is described in these literatures, is completely revolutionary. It's completely different to any other understanding of God that you'll find in any other religion. In general, God is that person that people fully depend on. Like in the Christian tradition, they say, God, give us our daily bread. In many other traditions, they're coming to God, depending on God, that God will provide what we need. As we say, sometimes people come to the temple with a shopping list and depend on God, that God will provide what we need. Yeah, please God, give me a color TV, a 3 gig MP3, a house by the sea, Jaya Jagadish Hare, as they say. So in the general concept of God, God is that person that we depend on. Okay? Now in this concept of God, in the Gaudiya Vaishnav conception of God, God depends on his devotees. While the whole world is worshipping God as that person that we can depend on, in this concept of God, God is depending on his devotees. When Sanatan Goswami took residence in Vrindavan on the order of Lord Chaitanya, then he was traveling to Mathura, and then one day he received a dream. And Krishna, Madan Mohan came in his dream, and Krishna, Madan Mohan said in the dream that I'm being worshipped in the house of this Brahmana, so I want you to come and I want you to take me, and I want you to worship me. So Sanatan Goswami was begging door to door for some chapati flour to make some dry chapatis for his sustenance, and he came to the home of this Brahmana. And he realized this Brahmana was the one who was worshipping Madan Mohan. So they came in and it was dinner time. And this Brahmana, he got all his family members and they all sat at the dinner table. And then there was one more space and he put the deity of Madan Mohan on the dinner table as well. And he was serving all of them and he was serving the deity of Krishna, Madan Mohan, just as though it was one of his sons, like that. So Sanatan Goswami saw this, he was completely baffled. Sanatan Goswami said, I don't think this is the usual way of worship. This seems very confidential. So Sanatan Goswami says, I'm not sure this is the right way to do it. Anyway, then they had a conversation. When Sanatan Goswami had that dream from Madan Mohan that I want you to collect me and worship me, at the same time this Brahmana received the same dream. And therefore the Brahmana received the dream from Madan Mohan that when this saint comes, Sanatan Goswami, I want you to hand me over to him. So after they had an exchange, then the Brahmana said, Madan Mohan wants to come with you. So Sanatan Goswami says, I'm not the person for this. I'm a renunciate. I don't have anything. I'm completely penniless. How will I worship this deity of Madan Mohan? The Brahmana said, well, he's come in the dream and he wants to come with you, so you have to take him. So Sanatan Goswami said, yeah, he's also come in my dream and I realize this. I don't know what I'm going to do, but anyway, I'll take him. So Sanatan Goswami took Madan Mohan. And he went back to Vrindavan and he gave Madan Mohan a very simple dwelling on some branches in a tree. And every day in Vrindavan, Sanatan Goswami was offering dry chapatis to Madan Mohan, Braja Roti. He was going to different houses and begging some chapati flour, and then he was making some dry chapatis and he was offering it to Madan Mohan. And then one day Madan Mohan said to him, you're offering me these dry chapatis, but maybe, if possible, if it's not too much trouble, can you also give me a little bit of salt? I mean, it's a little dry, you know. Sanatan Goswami looked at Madan Mohan and he said, what do you mean? I'm a renunciate. I told you I don't have anything. I am trying to give up this world and now you want me to become more and more entangled in this world and get so many things for you. And like this, they were having a very loving interaction. Amazing. In the general concept of God, people are worshipping God and relying on God that God will give everything to me. In the Gaudiya Vaishnava concept, God comes and relies on his devotee, that my devotee will provide for me. Madhavendra Puri came to Vrindavan and he was in Govinda Kund. And then he had a dream from Gopal. And Gopal said, I'm in the bush. It's not really the best place for me. Can you now establish a temple for me? So Madhavendra Puri, just a simple sannyasi, gave everything up and just focused on that task and built a wonderful temple for Gopal. And then even after building the temple for Gopal, another time Gopal came in the dream of Madhavendra Puri and he said, I'm feeling the heat of Vrindavan is too much. Therefore, can you go to Jagannath Puri and collect some sandalwood to smear over my body? And to go to Jagannath Puri, I mean, God, that's a long distance. This is Gopal. This is Krishna, who is the supreme controller of everything. But he depends on his devotees. Completely different concept of God. In the general concept of God that people have in the world, we are indebted to God. There's this general mode of worship that God has provided so much for me, done so much for me, and how can I ever repay God for what he has done for me? That's the general concept of God. In the Gaudiya Vaishnava concept of God, God becomes completely indebted to his devotees. While the whole world is worshipping God, feeling indebted to God, in this concept, God becomes indebted to his devotees. And therefore, Krishna says to the gopis, Napadayeham niravada samyujam, that I cannot repay you. I am eternally indebted to you for your service that you have rendered to me. Because you have given up everything. You have given up the domestic ties of family life that are so difficult to give up. You have given that up, left everything behind, and simply come to worship me and engage in loving pastimes with me. Therefore, Krishna says, Na para yeham. I am internally indebted to you. In this concept of God, God is indebted to the devotees. Even, for example, when Sudama comes to see Krishna, then of course Sudama's wife, they were very poor, and she said, go to see Krishna. And Krishna will, he's very rich, you know, he's got so many palaces and queens, he'll do something for you. So Sudama was reluctant, but on the order of his wife, he went. So he went to the palace, and they went through all the doors, and finally when Sudama entered the palace, then he saw Krishna and Rukmini sitting on the bedstead. And then as soon as Krishna saw Sudama, he became so joyful that he stood up, he ran to Sudama, he embraced him, then he took Sudama, placed him there, began to worship him, offer aarti. Then they sat down and they began to discuss their childhood pastimes in the ashram of Sandipani Muni. And then Krishna said to Sudama, "What have you brought for me?" So Sudama is very poor. What could he bring for Krishna? So before he had left, his wife had given him 4 palmfuls of chipped rice. Very simple rice, not basmati rice, simple chipped rice. So Sudama was embarrassed after seeing the opulence. How can I offer this to Krishna? Krishna says, no, what have you brought? So then he offered some rice. And it said that Krishna took one morsel of that rice and he relished it so much because it was offered with love. And after eating that one morsel of rice, he said, "Give me some more." So he went to take some more, and then Rukmini said, no, that's more than enough. You cannot take more than one grain of rice. Because if you take more than one morsel of rice from Sudama, you will be so indebted to him that you will not be able to repay him. That's how much consideration and love Krishna has for whatever offerings the devotees make. So in the general concept of God, people are thinking we are indebted to God. But in this concept of God, God is becoming indebted to his own devotees. In the general concept of God that people have in the world, people go to God for all the answers, isn't it? When you have a problem in life, when you're confused, when you have some doubts, then you go to God, and God provides all the answers. In the Gaudiya Vaishnav concept of God, God is asking the devotees for answers. God is coming to his devotees and inquiring from them, "Give me some advice, tell me what I should do, can you reveal the truths of life to me?" God is going to his devotees and asking. Just like in the year 1510, which is a very important year in the life of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it said that in the year 1510, in the month of Magh, which was January and February, Lord Chaitanya took sannyas. Then it said in the month of Phalgun, which is February and March, Lord Chaitanya arrived in Jagannath Puri. In the month of Chaitra, which is March and April, Lord Chaitanya delivered Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya. And in the month of Phalgun, Lord Chaitanya began his tour of South India. So now Lord Chaitanya began touring South India, and he went to the Nishinga temple, he went many different places. And then finally he came to the river Godavari. And at the river Godavari, he met Ramananda Roy. And Ramananda Roy was a very special personality. Of course, Kavi Karunapura says different things are there, but it said that Ramananda Roy was Lalita Sakhi. In other places it said Arjun. Either way, he was a very exalted personality, undoubtedly. So Lord Chaitanya met with Ramananda Roy, and they began having discussions. And how did the discussion start? Lord Chaitanya, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is completely omniscient. What did he ask Ramananda Roy? "Can you reveal to me the ultimate goal of life?" Everyone is going to God for answers. And here, God is coming to his devotee for answers. So then Ramananda Roy begins speaking different things. And then Lord Chaitanya tells him, Eho bhaiya, age kaha roy. This is external, say something more. Then Ramananda Roy says something more. Then Lord Chaitanya says, Eho bhaiya, age kaha roy. Say something more, say deeper, deeper. And like this, Lord Chaitanya reveals the ultimate method of worship and the deepest truths of the Vaishnava philosophy. How? By asking Ramananda Roy questions. So, in this Gaudiya Vaishnava concept of God, God is asking the devotees for answers. God is asking the devotees for advice. Just like Lord Chaitanya, he met Prakashananda Saraswati. And Prakashananda Saraswati, when he saw Lord Chaitanya, he was completely baffled. Because he said, here is a sannyasi, and all he's doing is he's just chanting the holy names of Krishna. I mean, a sannyasi should be engaged in studying Vedanta. That's what a sannyasi does. So Prakashananda Saraswati was completely baffled by Lord Chaitanya. And therefore he was inquiring from Lord Chaitanya, why is it that you're simply chanting the holy name? And then Lord Chaitanya explains to Prakashananda Saraswati why he chants the holy name. Prabhu kohe sune shripad ihar karan. He said, Prabhu kohe, Lord Chaitanya said, sune shripad, listen, my dear Prakashananda Saraswati, ihar karan, the reason why I'm chanting the holy name. Guru more murkha dekhi korila shashan. My spiritual master told me you are a fool. And therefore he chastised me. Murkha tumi tomara nahi vedantadikar. Krishna mantra japa shada ei mantra shar. Ishwarapuri said to Lord Chaitanya, murkha tumi, you're a fool. Tomar nahi, you do not have Vedantadikar, any qualification to study Vedanta. Krishna mantra japa shada ei mantra shar. Simply chant the Hare Krishna mantra, ei mantra shar. That is the essence, that is the conclusion, that is all you need to do. Amazing. People are going to God for all the answers and advice. And here is God, Lord Chaitanya, who goes to Ishwarapuri and is just being completely chastised by him and is being given advice by the devotee. Guru more murkha dekhi korila shashan. You're a fool. Just chant. So again, we see a whole different concept of God that is coming out in this tradition. Generally, God, in the general concept of affairs in the world, God is that person who everyone fears, isn't it? Like, we have all these different superstitions and rituals that we do because we fear, if I don't do this, maybe something terrible will happen to me. So generally in the world, people fear God. If I do something bad, then I have to atone for it because God will do, you know, otherwise something terrible will happen to me. So in the general concept of God, people fear God. In this concept of God, God fears his devotees. God actually fears his devotees. As we sing when it's the month of Kartik, Rudantam muhur netram yugmam rajantam karam bhoja yugmena satanka netram. That Krishna is running from Mother Yashoda, seeing the whipping stick in his mother's hand. He is crying and rubbing his eyes again and again. People fear God, but here is God who is crying and rubbing his eyes again and again, fearing his own mother. We find another wonderful pastime that Lord Chaitanya once, Gaur Nithai, Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda went to Ambika Kalna. It's a very wonderful place. It's the home of Gauridas Pandit. In fact, if you go to that place, Ambika Kalna, then you can see a handwritten script of the Bhagavad Gita that was handwritten by Lord Chaitanya. You can even find the oar that Lord Chaitanya used to row across the river to get to Ambika Kalna. And there's wonderful deities of Gaura Nithai, made from neem wood, wonderful deities. So it said that once Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda visited Ambika Kalna. And Gauridas Pandit had deities of Gaura Nithai there. So once Gauridas Pandit was worshipping Gaura Nithai on the altar. So as he was offering aarti to Gaura Nithai on the altar, a huge kirtan was going on in the temple room. But obviously he was the pujari on the altar, so he couldn't just join in, but he was just listening to this tumultuous kirtan. So then Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda arrived, and there's this huge kirtan going on, and Gauridas Pandit is there, and he's worshipping Gaura Nithai. So as this kirtan is going on, now Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda enter the kirtan. You can imagine it goes up a few more notches, right? Imagine having a kirtan in here and then Lord Chaitanya enters. So the kirtan now goes to the next level. It's just booming, right? Ecstasy. At that time, Gauridas Pandit is offering aarti to Gaura Nithai on the altar, and that Gaura Nithai jump off the altar and enter into the kirtan. So now it's a completely crazy scene. There's a huge kirtan going on, and now there's two sets of Gaura Nithai in the kirtan. Shri Radha Gokulananda ki jai, Shisdanam Lakshman Hanuman ki jai. So this tumultuous kirtan is going on, and now there's two sets of Gaura Nithai in the kirtan, and everyone's just going wild. And Gauridas Pandit was there offering worship, and then finally they jump off and he's there, and no one's on the altar, and he's thinking, my God, what to do now? So Gauridas Pandit, he comes off the altar and he begins to chase Gaura Nithai. And he says, you can't just do that, you know. You can't just jump off the altar when I'm offering aarti. That's not right. So he begins to chase Gaura Nithai around the temple room. Imagine the scene, you know. So here's Gauridas Pandit, and he's chasing Gaura Nithai around the temple room. And he said that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is running from him. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became so scared that there was one devotee in the assembly. His name was Hridayananda. And Lord Chaitanya jumped into his heart and disappeared. And therefore that devotee then became known as Hriday Chaitanya. And of course, we know Hriday Chaitanya then initiated Shyamananda Pandit. So it's just an interesting pastime to see how Lord Chaitanya is running from his devotee in fear. Krishna is running from Mother Yashoda in fear. The general concept of God is that we fear God. In this concept of God, God fears his devotee. So you can see that we're worshipping Krishna, but Krishna is no ordinary God. The stereotyped images that people have of God don't fit with Krishna. Krishna is completely different. It's like generally people have this concept of God that God is very conservative, he's very serious, he's very prim and proper. You know, he awards you according to what you do to him. And you know, he's just all in all a very straightforward person. Krishna is completely different. Right? Krishna is completely different. It's like Nietzsche. Nietzsche was a hardcore atheist, Friedrich Nietzsche. And of course, we know he made the famous statement, God is dead. But then it's interesting. There's one person, Walter Kaufman, he actually wrote a biography of Nietzsche. And in the biography of Nietzsche, he records another statement that Nietzsche made. And in another statement, Nietzsche said, I will only believe in a God who knows how to dance. Interesting. Nietzsche said, I will only believe in a God who knows how to dance. So it's very clear that Nietzsche had a certain idea and concept of who God is. And maybe he was looking for something a little more interesting. Unfortunately, he didn't come in contact with this teaching. Otherwise, maybe he would have become Dr. Frederick. People have this notion that God is very conservative. Krishna is completely different. Krishna is the best dancer. Krishna is dancing every night in the groves of Vrindavan. Lord Chaitanya is the best dancer. He's dancing in front of the Rath Yatra car and fainting in ecstasy. Krishna is the best musician. When he plays the flute, time stops. Right? Krishna is a very humorous personality. He said that once Sanatan Goswami, he was meditating on the pastimes of Radha Krishna. So in his meditation, Srimati Radharani came. So she was trying to catch a fruit off one tree. But the branch was too high. So Krishna came along and he was seeing the whole scene. So this is Sanatan Goswami in his meditation. So Krishna comes along and he sees Radharani is trying to grab the fruit. So then Krishna comes along and he pulls the branch down. So then Radharani, you know, she grasps the branch and is about to pick the fruit off. And just as she grasps the branch and is about to pick the fruit off, Krishna lets go. So the branch just flicks like this and Radharani flies to the other side. So Sanatan Goswami is meditating on this pastime. And as he's meditating on this pastime, he begins to laugh. Unfortunately, he began to laugh, and at that time one rishi came along who had some bodily defect. And Sanatan Goswami, who was laughing in his meditation, this rishi thought he was laughing at me. So then the rishi cursed him. Anyway, and then the story goes on. I won't go into that. But just, suffice it to say, Krishna is a very humorous personality. Very humorous, right? He can do anything. Right? So people, as I said, they have this very kind of idea that God is very conservative, non-controversial. Krishna is the most controversial. Right? He is stealing butter, stealing the clothes of the gopis. Krishna is lying. He's tricking people left, right and center. Krishna is dancing with other people's wives. I mean, he's just the most controversial person. Right? Completely different to the normal conception of God. You know. It's like, again, if you see, the normal conception of God is that if we worship God, then God will give us prosperity. He'll make our lives very nice. There's this thing in America called the Prosperity Church. And basically they believe, their philosophy is that if God is happy with you, then God will give you everything financially. He'll provide everything. He'll give you health, wealth, everything. You'll become very prosperous. This is the manifestation of Jesus Christ's mercy upon you. This is the teaching. So they say, come worship at the church, offer your devotion, and the result will be that you'll become very prosperous. So people generally feel this in religion, that if I worship God, I will become very prosperous. God is that person who bestows prosperity. Krishna is completely different. Krishna says, if I especially favor you, if I especially want to give you mercy, then I will take away everything. Yasya hamanu grinami harishe tadhanai shane tato dhanam tyajantasya svajana dukadukitam. Krishna says, when I especially favor someone, I take away everything. First, I take away their wealth, and then in such a poverty-stricken situation, their family members leave them. And in this way, tato dhanam tyajantasya svajana dukadukitam, they suffer one misery after another. So once Prabhupada was giving a lecture and he was quoting this verse, and Prabhupada said, yes, I have personal experience of this. And then all the devotees began laughing, and then Prabhupada became very serious and he said, do not laugh. If it happens to you, you will become very morose. So people have this conception of God that if I worship God, then I'll become very prosperous. God is the one who bestows prosperity. Krishna is completely different. Krishna can take away everything, and that is His special mercy. So in this way, when we read these scriptures, we're getting so much insight into the nature of God. It's said that the Bhagavad Gita is the words of Krishna, the Srimad Bhagavatam is the activities of Krishna, but the Chaitanya Charitamrita is the mind of Krishna. When you start reading these books, especially the Chaitanya Charitamrita, you get an insight into the mind of God, what God is thinking, what the internal mood of God is. Such a deep insight. So when we go out into the world and we say that this path is the most advanced theological path, that there is no religion which gives as much detailed information of God as this path, it is not just a PR line. It is not just a good advertisement that we're making up. Because the concept of God that you find in these books, that concept, I mean, I haven't studied all the religions, I can't say that, but I have never come across any religion or theological path that talks in this level of intimacy about God. And in that way, it is our greatest fortune, actually, to be in touch with these teachings and to see, as Prabhupada is saying in this purport, when an incarnation gives up the understanding of his godhood and plays the part of a servitor, he enjoys a greater taste of transcendental mellows than when he plays the part of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So to understand this concept of God, that God is giving up his godhood, this is actually incredibly advanced. And to see how Krishna becomes subservient and subordinate to his devotees. And in this way, Krishna experiences so much happiness and so much bliss. Krishna is explained in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Krishna is Raso Vaisaha. Krishna is the complete embodiment of all transcendental mellows. Krishna is Rasaraj. He's the king of all relationships. And therefore, more than the awe and reverential worship that people offer to God, Krishna is more interested in loving interaction. And just one final thing I'll say, just to put this in context, is that although God likes to be treated in this very personal way, in this very intimate way, in a way in which one doesn't recognize God's superiority, in the stage of sadhana bhakti, in the stage of Vedi bhakti, we worship God with awe and reverence. We worship God according to ritual. We worship God with great respect. We worship God through the process of Harinam Sankirtan. And through that process, when we develop enough purity, then we can also engage in more intimate relations with God. On the level of Sanatan Goswami and others that we discussed today. So I'll stop there. Thank you for your attention. And if anyone has any comments, questions, corrections or complaints.